Praise the Lord. Have any of you ever wanted to change anything about yourself? And, you know, some people would like to be more outgoing. Some people like to be less fearful. Some people would like to be more productive. Some of us would like to be more physically fit. And this probably fit all of them. All of us might like to be more financially stable, maybe. And some people like to change gears, careers. And, you know, most people have room for improvement. That's why they want to change something, because most of us realize that we can improve on ourselves. And people look at self-help books and health clubs and seminars and conferences and all kinds of stuff. But and there's a lot of good help available, and there's nothing wrong with all that. That's all good. But we must, if we want to be what God wants us to be and receive what God wants us to receive, then we got to be willing to shift gears in our thinking, to go from where we are to where God wants us. How many of you, by looking at the crowd, I can see that most of you probably grew up with either three in the tree or four on the floor, shifting gears. How many of you understand gear shifting? Yeah, and you had to shift gears. I think I got a little video here. Let me see this little video. As Kurt, my man's gone, and needs to play my video. Somebody, hey, I need my video. There he is. That's it. Did you see him go through those gears? That's four on the floor right there for you that don't know four on the floor. Actually, I think he's a drag race. I see his tachometer up there. I think he was doing a drag race, done that, been there, done that. Anybody win with me on that? Yeah, I recognize that tack setting up there, because we didn't have tachometers on the car, so we had to get one and just mount it there on the dash. Amen. But you notice, in order to get up to a top speed, he had to start in one gear, and he had to shift gears as he went. So the title of my subject tonight is called Shifting Gears. if you're going to get to where you need to in your Christian life, you're going to have to shift gears in your thinking, believing, speaking, and actions to move to where God wants you to. But it all begins with shifting the gears in your thinking. Now look at Isaiah 55:8. Y'all gonna have to pardon me, but I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. I just keep going. Amen. Praise God. All right, everybody found Isaiah 55:8. All right. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways. Are your ways my ways, says the Lord? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now I want to read that. Actually, I read the 8th and 9th verses, really what I read. I just, in the Message version, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars above the earth, so the ways I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. So God's thoughts are definitely higher than our thoughts. But that's not the end of the story. The good news is that God wrote his thoughts down for us so we can read them, so we can know his thoughts. And we can think his thinking. You know, when the doctor says there's no cure, that's man's level of thinking. But the Word of God says, by his stripes we are healed. That's God's way of thinking. Hello? How many ever been healed by the power of God? Yeah, we all have, probably. You know, so we have a choice to think according to God's word, believe according to God's word, or think the other way. Did you understand that you can be born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and not receive healing and still go to heaven? But you can get healed. You can shift gears and get healed if you want to. See, the truth is, shifting gears in our thinking from the way we think to the way God thinks is the thing that's important for us. I know it's a little hot in here. I don't know whether the air's not working or whether we don't have it on or something. Check it out, Jesse. If y'all didn't know, this is Brother Jesse. He works for us over at the ministry. He works in the air with the air conditioning and the electricity. In fact, he's the one that helped do a lot of this electric work when we took over this building. You know, there's some people. Now, you remember transmission, the manual transmission, well, even your automatic, it has an end there. That's neutral. You put it in neutral, and the thing will just, if you put it in neutral and you go in any speed at all and put it in neutral, it'll coast. That's what some people, it is in neutral. They're just coasting along in life. And if they hit a bad situation, they come to a stop. Because if you're coasting and you hit a grade, you're going to coast a little way up, but then you're going to lose all of your speed, and then you're just going to roll right back down because you're in neutral. And it is if you're in neutral, if the ground's going down, you're going to go down. That's just the way it is, you know. And then there's some people, they... they moving along in first gear. Now, you can only go so far in first gear without blowing the engine up. And if you just keep your foot on it, you'll redline it and blow an engine up. So you have to change it, you know. Most guys got to where you can listen to that engine, and you don't even have to look at the tack. Just listening at the engine, you know exactly, hey, I got to get to next gear because I'm at the top right now. I ain't even looking at the tachometer to see how much RPMs you're going. You know, when I used to drag my old 53 Plymouth, you know, we kids, we went to the drag, we started the National Hot Rod Association. Some of you might not know that, but we teenagers back in the 50s, World War II was over, and Korean War was over, and all those air bases that they trained people at, they were just sitting there, you know, idle. And so we would go out there and we'd use them. They let us use them for drag strips, and we didn't have all this modern technology they got now. We had a guy with the flag starting people, and the guy down at the end had a flag. Whoever got there first, that was the winner. We didn't know how fast. Only way you knew how fast you was going, whatever your speedometer said. We didn't have no electric timers. Anybody old enough remember that, or anybody do that besides me? Oh, I got one back there that did it besides me. You know, and I went Plymouth, and I didn't even have to look. I just knew. When to slam it into second, come down into high, because I had three in the tree. For you, that's three gears on the gear shift. We called it three in the tree back in the day. You know, I'm giving y'all education, okay? Three in the tree, four in the floor, you know. But, you know, we have to change our thinking to God's thinking. Our way of thinking about things to God's way of thinking about things. We just don't coast along. We just don't stay in first gear and don't use our mind for very much. Don't want to overtax. You know, we don't want to blow up. So, but God's thoughts are about our situation is different than our thoughts about our situation. You know, one person said, one of the greatest needs of the church today is for God's people to renew their mind with the Word of God. And that guy happened to have his name about like my same name as I did. You know, tonight, so we got to shift gears in our thinking if we're going to follow God's plan. Now, let's look at the Israelites. The Israelites had to shift gears in order to get their thinking right, in order to go into promised land. In fact, their thinking caused them not to go into promised land. Numbers 13, 30 through 33. I'm going to read it from the Contemporary English Version. Caleb calmed down the crowd and said, "Let us go up and take the land. I know we can do it." But the other men replied, "Those people are too strong for us." Then they started spreading rumors and saying, "We won't be able to grow anything in the soil, and the people are like giants, and we saw the Nephilim there, who are the ancestors of the Anakim. They were so big that we felt as small as grasshoppers." Now, the Israelites had left Egypt, where they were slaves, so they had a slave mentality, and that caused them to look at themselves and think of themselves as nothing, as grasshoppers. That kind of thinking kept them from going into the promised land. It took 40 years wandering in the wilderness to get the grasshopper thinking out of them and a conquering mentality in them. You know, stop and think about it. The giants did not defeat the Israelites. Their own thinking defeated them. We can't do it. We can't. See, thoughts of doubt and fear will defeat you too. I say this all the time. I probably said it to you here. I know I do it all the time. I'm preaching. I never will forget Miss Fowler, my first grade teacher. She asked, I think old Jack Green's who she asked, but one of the guys, she said, and he said, "I can't." She asked him if he could do something. He said, "I can't." And she went to the blackboard. We had blackboards in those days. Anybody remember when you had blackboards and white chalk? You didn't have dry erasable boards with all kinds of different colors. We had blackboards with white chalk. And you had to dust the erasers. And if you got in trouble, that was one of the punishments, was to dust those erasers. You come out looking like white chalk all over you. Anybody been there besides me? Oh, I got some company. All right. And she went to that board, and she wrote on there, "Don't ever say you can't. If you say you can't, you can't. If you say you can, you will." I never will forget that. I was in the first grade, 6 years old, and I still remember it to this day. I can still see that blackboard in my mind. You know, she was trying to tell us that our thinking is what defeated us. If you think you can't and say you can't, you won't. Hello. You know, the Israelites had to shift gears from the slave mentality to a conquering mentality. Are y'all there? Y'all gone home already? Or are you just listening? You see, you know, another guy named Gideon. Anybody ever read about Gideon in the Bible? He had to shift gears in his thinking to be what God called him to be. Let's read from Judges 6, about the 12th verse there. I'm going to read out of the Contemporary English Version because I like what it says. "The angel appeared and spoke to Gideon, 'The Lord is helping you, and you are a strong warrior.' Gideon answered, 'Please don't take this wrong, but if the Lord's helping us, then why have all these awful things happened? We've heard how the Lord performed miracles and rescued our ancestors from Egypt, but those things happened long ago. Now the Lord has abandoned us to the Midianites.' Then the Lord himself said, 'Gideon, you will be strong because I'm giving you power to rescue Israel from the Midianites.' Gideon replied, 'But how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest one in Manasseh, and everyone else in my family is more important than I am.' Gideon, the Lord answered, 'You can rescue Israel because I'm going to help you defeat the Midianites. Defeat the Midianites will be the easiest as beating up one man.'" Now, Gideon had a low self-esteem. He said that his bunch was the least in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And then he said, "I am the least of my whole family." So he sort of had left, his thinking was sort of low self-esteem. But God's thoughts about him were better than that. God called him a mighty warrior. Come on now. God called him, he called himself the least of the least. And God called him deliverer of Israel. Isn't that what he said? After he changed his thinking, he became that deliverer. Sometimes we have to change our thinking about ourselves and say what God says about us instead of what somebody else is saying or what we're thinking about ourselves. You know, we need to renew our mind with the Word of God so we're able to think that we can do all things through Christ. That's what the Bible said. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. We also need to think, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Man, if the greater one's living on the inside of you, what are you worrying about? See, we need to shift gears and be in our thinking and receive what God has said. And look at this. When we look at Peter. Now, Peter, in order to receive what God had for him, Jesus told him to go out there. We're going to read it here. He told him to go out there and row the boat. Well, first of all, Jesus was being pushed onto the sea, and so he saw the boat there, and he said, hey, can I use your boat? I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. And so Peter said, yeah. So he rowed him out a little bit from the shore where he could teach the people because they were crowding down around him, and he was about to go in the water. And so then he taught the people, and after he got through, the Lord told him, go out there and let your net down for a catch. Now, Peter had fished all night, and they hadn't caught nothing. Now, he had to shift gears in his thinking because his thinking as a fisherman was, there's no use to row the boat out there. We don't fish in the daytime. We fish at night, and we were already out there. And there wasn't no fish. We didn't get anything. But he changed his thinking from what he knew in the natural to what Jesus said could happen. Because, you see, he may have looked sort of silly to the other fishermen, told all of his crew, come on, guys, get the nets. Let's go. We're going out here. We're going to let the nets down. Everybody else may have been looking at him, all the other fishermen, because they all had fished that night and they ain't caught nothing. And there he is, and he said, let's go. Now, he may have looked stupid, but it wasn't very long until he looked pretty smart because he started catching so many fish, he had to call for another boat to come out there and help him. And they got so many fish that it almost sank both boats. But you see, if he would have stayed with his natural thinking, he would have never got a boatload of fish. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that we have to get out of our natural thinking and begin to think God's thoughts. Right here they are in the Word of God. We read them in the Word of God. And whatever God says is the right way to think. That's the way you're supposed to think. You're supposed to think God's thoughts, not your thoughts, not what you think. It's not what you think. It's what God said. And I've said it before, I've said it here, I say it all the time. People used to come up, my dad, I was with him all my life, you know. And they'd come up and they'd say, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? And he never would answer them. He would say, what does the Bible say? I don't know, Brother John may have heard him say that. I don't know, because y'all may not know it, Brother John used to pastor a Christian church up in Indiana, yeah. And during the charismatic renewal, he got the Holy Spirit, and my dad went up there, I think, twice and preached at his church twice up there in Indiana. And if you was around my dad very long, anybody that was around him very long, he never would tell you. If you ask him a question, he wouldn't tell you what he thought. He would tell you what the Bible said. Yeah, amen. I mean, Lynette's here. She was around him, but... And I think there's Cliff, and he worked for the ministry. How many years you work for the ministry now, Cliff? 30 years. So you were around him. And he wouldn't tell people what he thought. He would tell you what the Bible said. Why? Because he got a hold of the importance of changing his thinking from man's way of thinking and looking at things to the way God thinks and looks at things. God calls those things to be not as though they were. It says there in Romans. Yes. Right? Yes. Anybody ever read it there? Yes. That's the way God thinks. Come on now. Now, shifting gears in our thinking has to do with the renewal of God's word in our minds. Contemporary English is Psalms 1. God blesses those people who refuse evil thoughts and won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Instead, the law of the Lord makes them happy, and they think about it day and night. They're like trees going beside a stream. Trees that produce fruit in season always have leaves. Those people succeed in everything they do. See, your mind needs to be renewed daily. Just like you comb your hair if you got any. Like you brush your teeth. You know, that's something that has to be, it's a daily exercise, right? You repeatedly have to renew your mind with the Word of God. You know, whenever I was ninth grade, it was the first time I ever went to California with Daddy. He picked us up, my sister and I. You're 19 months younger. You're behind me in school at Garland Junior High School. I finished the ninth grade. She finished the eighth. We walked out of the school, got in the car, and started driving to California. And the next year, I took what we call correspondence course. I guess they call it homeschool now. And traveled all over California with him, preaching, you know, as in my sophomore year, as a 16-year-old. Now, as we were driving to California, I'd never been out that way before. He had been there several times. Now, it wasn't Interstate 40. It's old Highway 66. You got to realize that was about 1954, May of 1954, I believe it was. Now, we'd be driving out across there, and you're going out across that desert area, and you look out across there, and there's nothing. I mean, it's brown, and there's might be a few tumbleweeds, maybe a little mesquite bush every once in a while. But you look off in the distance, and you'd see a whole row of trees, green trees. And you'd get there, the road finally get there, and you'd go across a bridge, and it was a stream of water. Where that water was, everything was going, the roots were going there, and they were drawing the water, and they were green. That's the way it is with the renewing your mind with the Word of God. You stay with the Word of God, and you'll stay fresh spiritually because you're drawing every day. You're drawing on the strength of God. Hello. You know... You need to realize that you've got to think God's thought. You got to think how powerful God is. You get that from renewing your mind with the Word of God. You got to think of God's abundance instead of your lack. Yes. Come on now. Yes. You know, a man that I know and knew ever since I was a teenager, T.L. Osborne. He had a book out called How to Enjoy Plenty, and on page 16 he said, when the mind perceives God's abundance and begins to comprehend that he created the wealth of this earth for the blessing of his children, the walls of mentality enslavement begin to crumble and the rainbow of God's plenty appears. Hello. Thinking God's thoughts leads to what? Believing what God said. Yes. Right believing leads to speaking. Right speaking. What's right speaking? Speaking what God said. Right speaking positions you to experience what God has for you. There's a little book out there in the bookstore. My dad put it together many years ago. Right and Wrong Thinking. Anybody ever read Right and Wrong Thinking? Yeah. That goes right along what I'm talking about tonight. Right and wrong thinking. Wrong thinking gets you nothing. Right thinking will get you whatever God said belongs to you. You know, shifting gears will help us to be able to experience all that God has for us. Now, the greatest battles that you're going to fight are in your mind. That's why we have to continually say what the Word of God says. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I say that all the time. All them same, I say most every day, I say this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, there are just certain things that I renew my mind with every day. One of the things I try to do every day is read those scriptures over there in Ephesians. Talking about, you know, that we have, Paul's talking to the people there, and I just put my name in there, I have a spirit of wisdom. And I'll be able to comprehend all of these things. You, that's something you need to read. Now, you know, what we need to realize is, and it changed our thinking when we get a hold of what God says in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is why we got to renew our minds with the Word of God so that we can pull down those thoughts and those strongholds that come. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure keep him from building a nest in your hair if you have any. You can't help but the devil bring you thoughts because he's out here in this world, but you don't have to think on those thoughts. You can cast them down. And he will bring thoughts to you. Everybody he brings thoughts to. But it says cast them down. Don't cast them away. The Message version of that same scripture says, we use our powerful God tools for the smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstacle and building lives of obedience into maturity. Yeah, they see our tools. What are our tools? Our tools are the Word of God, thinking in line with the Word of God. If you allow the Satan to win the battle in your mind, then he's gained a victory in your life. However, the battle can be won by tapping into the power within the Word of God. Realizing that everything that God said here, that Jesus did for us in Calvary, is for us today. I realize that they used to sing someday, some happy day. Well, someday we're going to heaven, and some happy day all this stuff is going to happen. But I want to tell you what, God said that we could have blessings down here on this earth. He gave us the authority. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth, and I give the power on earth to my church. Who is his church? The ones that's been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the local body like we are. We call ourselves the church, but there's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones. That's everybody that's been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the body of Christ. That is the church. Amen. You can experience through understanding the Word of God and thinking in line with the Word of God, you can experience the Holy Spirit in your life. In fact, I started a session this morning, and maybe I'll do some of it over here, called a Power Trip. And talking about the Holy Spirit. And I guess I know some of you may have listened to it. Sometimes I'm remiss to do something here because some of you listen, but it probably wouldn't hurt you to hear it again. So I'll probably end up doing that session. It's three sessions. I'll have to get it when I'm going to be in town for three times in a row because it's going to be three sessions by the time I finish it. Hallelujah. There is a connection. Say this with me. There is a connection. Between us thinking God's thoughts, believing and speaking God's word, and experiencing the power of God in our lives. So you need to decide tonight to shift the gears. Actually, you need to shift the gears and get into overdrive. You know, take it out of park and take it out of neutral. you know, back they, you know, they just had, first of all, they come out, they just had, you know, you had three gears or four gears, and then they come out with you know, you could get it over in the high, and finally get it in the last gear, and then you could pull this little lever, and it went into overdrive. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, some of you do. You know, your automatic transmissions now, they, once you get up to certain speed, they kick over in there. It's automatic. It kicks it over into that overdrive. But you kick it into overdrive, man, and you're just cruising. That's where we need to get with God, with the Word of God, thinking in line with His thoughts, thinking His thoughts. We just cruising through life, enjoying life. He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah. If you're going to enjoy His life and His abundant life, you got to think the way He thinks. You got to talk the way He talks. You got to receive every blessing that He said belongs to you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us all to change so that we think in line with God's word. Thank you, Lord, that every individual, I realize that everything I said probably wasn't for everybody, but there was something that I said that was for everybody. And may they take that part, and may they use it in their life to experience the greatness of your power and your love toward them. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I never like to preach that I give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. You know I do that. All of you that would know I do that, or to rededicate your life. Sometimes people, you know, they know what it is, serve God, but they're just not where they need to be with God, and they need to rededicate. Anybody in that position tonight? Well, praise the Lord. You know, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. That's an experience, a biblical experience. It's not a church creed or doctrine experience. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here tonight won't be filled with the Holy Spirit? Everybody stand, please. If you're here tonight and you would like to have hands laid on you for healing, the Word of God says that they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if you need hands laid on you for sickness, come on up here right now. Just come on up here right now. If you want hands laid on, just stand right here. Hallelujah to Jesus. Come and stand here, right here. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I'll come over there in just a minute. You can stay on that side. Hallelujah. Everybody reach your hands out toward these as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that you touch this man, Father. Heal every part of this body that needs to be healed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for healing power flowing through this body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing power flowing through this body. I thank you for complete healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing in this body. Healing power, God, flows through this body to effect the healing and the cure. Thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody put your hands up and thank God for healing. Thank God for healing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Next Sunday night right here, 6 o'clock, come believing, come expecting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to go back to one door. She's going to go to another one. We'll shake hands with you as you leave. Oh, Jane, go get our first-time guest. We got a special gift we want to give you. What was her name? Barbara, I think it was. Elizabeth. Okay, Elizabeth, we're glad to have you. Give Elizabeth a hand, everybody. Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, we got another one here, too. Oh, I didn't see her. I'm sorry. Come on, go with Miss Jane there, Elizabeth. We got special place, special gift we want to give you for being here with us. Hey, don't make this your last time you're with us, okay? Just come back every time, every night, every Sunday night, 6 o'clock right here. Either I'm here or my son. Sometimes Brother Tad is here. Occasionally we have, both of us are gone at the same time somewhere else out of town. Praise the Lord. Well, remember, if you're going to get all God has for you, you got to shift your gears and start your thinking in line with God's word. God bless. We'll see you next Sunday.